Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 11. In the last edition of SNU, I introduced our new teaching program called Principles of Sports Nutrition. I spent some time reviewing the education requirements for teaching the course, as well as detailing how the program is actually downloaded from the CHI website by CSNA Master Teachers. I developed this course for CSNA Master Teachers to teach to their own students anywhere in the world, and as an alternative for students who prefer direct contact with a teacher in a classroom environment. This program is very unique, so there is virtually no competition from other schools, colleges, or universities, or other trainers or nutrition consultants. Now, I'm currently teaching the first run of the course here in Vancouver right now. We're in our 7th week coming up, and I've learned by experience just how fun and effective this course really is. I really enjoy working with the students, and all of them are very special. They're inclined to progressive thinking, open-minded people, and they want to learn and they want to apply the information they learn. The PSN course is absolutely ideal for those of you who want to earn extra income from each quarter. And that's because you can teach it each quarter. It's a 12-week course, so you could literally teach this thing year-round and just keep building up your clientele and get better and better at it each time you teach it. And, of course, for those who want to experience the multiple personal benefits of teaching on a personal level, I can tell you that there's a lot of personal gratification in teaching this course. And I can also see that teaching the program definitely leads to more business from the students enrolled in the class, because they want to get into more of the courses that we have at CHI, as well as there's opportunities for them to explore new professional horizons and even change their career path. I mean, once they see what's available, they might look at what they're currently doing and tweak it or change it. Or maybe we've even had people that leave professions and professionals who want to get into the health field, and that's why they come to CHI to upgrade their knowledge. Now, actually teaching the course myself has also given me the chance to work out all of the kinks in it, make some minor adjustments to the teaching process to improve the format, and delete any text errors the students, myself, and Tracy have discovered in the student study program. So by the time we load the site with the course materials for the CSNA Masters on the new CHI bookstore webpage, everything should be functional and in very good form for practical application. Once again, I'm reminded how important experience is in life. There's just nothing like actually doing something in real time. You can propose whatever you like, philosophize about the stars in the sky for decades, or rationalize how many sets and reps are best for size or strength or endurance. But until the idea or the concept is actually put to the test, studied in motion, and the outcome or the effects analyzed, you really don't know how it's going to work, what effect it's going to have, or how the program is going to be received and performed by the students. So I'm really glad that I'm able to teach this to live human beings, because their feedback and the actual dissemination or delivery of the material is something that I can measure and modify if need be. I mean, what good is anything if it doesn't work in real life? in the real world, on the plains. It's like people in marketing with no experience in the field. They might have a good theory, but many theories fail to produce the desired effect or outcome because they fail to actually test the model. And I think one common reason that I've seen, and of course there are many, but one common reason that they don't test the model is because of arrogance. They have these elitist attitudes and they think their ideas are foolproof and therefore require no testing. A good example of this that I've actually seen in real life is when a sports nutrition drink or protein powder isn't tested on athletes first before being released. These products require taste testing because no matter how great the formula is in theory, in the lab, in the office where the marketing people are discussing these concepts, if they don't taste good, if the product doesn't taste good, the large majority of people who are going to buy it are simply not going to buy it again. I mean, you might motivate them to try it and they'll buy it one time, but if it doesn't taste good or if it leaves a strange aftertaste, or if it affects their gut in some kind of weird way, they're not going to buy it again. Now, you would think this concept would be obvious to anyone in the business, but believe me, in life and definitely in business, truth is far stranger than fiction, and sometimes even more difficult to behold and believe. So let's continue with our review of the sports nutrition principles taught in the PSN course, and there's 110 of them. And last month, we began with principle number one, which is sports nutrition as a principle in itself. And the second principle today is principle number two, the art. Now, sports nutrition is an art. This relates to how you apply the science. If you're a CSNA graduate, you had to define a sports nutrition as an art in your final dissertation. Remember, and please bring to mind, once you know what to do, the art has to do with the application and the actual doing of what you know to do. And take it from me, based on decades of personal experience and know-how, the doing it is by far the most difficult part. And just because you're a fitness or health professional makes no apparent difference, although you might think it should. The art relates to when and if you take your vitamins on time. Whether or not you take them, or certain ones in specific amounts, such as vitamin C or creatine or glutamine, that's established through objective science and the research. The consumption of dietary supplements must first and foremost answer the demands of rational use, logic, and safety. The art also relates to how we eat food, including how we group macronutrients, proteins, fats, and carbs, and how we combine food with dietary supplements. For example, Tracy and I have 2 to 4 protein shakes every day. These delicious shakes are packed with whey protein isolate, fruit, hemp protein, hemp seed oil, glutamine, ribose, creatine, spirulina, and of course, vitamin C powder. In addition to the powder supplements added to each shake blended in water, we also use our shakes to shake and take, meaning we take or swallow our other supplements and packs in capsule and tablet form at the same time. This ritual makes for a splendid and extremely practical daily procedure. The art we create is equal to the benefits we receive. Now, the measure, the quantity, the timing, the application, the consistency, the day in and day out administration of the supplements we take, this is the art of sports nutrition. The art relates to constant application. The art relates to the consistency of the application. You take your vitamins at a certain time, for example. The fact that you do this is how the art is revealed. The reason why you do it is based on the science. The art of sports nutrition relates to the skill of eating, how you prepare your meals, how you segregate, combine, and partition your protein, fats, and carbohydrates when you take your vitamins and when you take your shakes. The art of sports nutrition can be compared to the skill, development, and training of an athlete. You have to show up. You have to practice. Practice makes permanent. Does it matter to your coach how you practice? Of course it does. Each practice is a step closer to creating athletic excellence. It's an opportunity to refine your skills, improve technique, or identify flaws in the system of practice. This is why doctors call what they do a practice. They are in a constant learning flux with people. So the next time you visit your doctor, remember that he or she is practicing on you, and let's hope they don't screw it up. The art of sports nutrition may be compared to a great painter who has a vision in their mind. They take that vision and through both learned and natural skill, transfer it onto the canvas for all to see. This is also true regarding the art of sports nutrition. We can learn the art and also apply our unique personal talent. Like the painting created over time by a great artist, everyone you know should be able to see and clearly identify the art of sports nutrition as it's applied in your personal life. People should see that application. Like, for example, when you eat and how you eat. What you eat should be driven by science, and that's pretty cool. And when people see you doing that consistently, that's very impressive. What would they see if they saw you doing your thing? Would you be proud or ashamed? Is what you do an outstanding example of the art in motion? Would people crowd around and gaze at your work in awe and with admiration? Ultimately, your objective is to maximize your personal health and improve your performance. If you are true to the art, then I guarantee you'll get people talking. They'll solicit you for advice, pay you for it, and still wonder how you did it. Just like how we all look and admire a painting by Picasso or a statue by Michelangelo. Did these artists create these timeless works of art for the praise alone? No way. They did what they were motivated to do because of who they were. They were driven by their passion. And once they discovered who they were through living and suffering, they simply revealed what they always had the potential to do. So, are you revealing your true potential? If you're climbing the ladder like I am and wanting to get higher so that your vista improves and you can see beyond the horizon, as you make an effort and it's clean and true, life and providence will reward you. You'll get stronger and you'll be able to do it better and better, and you'll feel more confident and you'll really start to unglue yourself and separate yourself like the wheat is separated from the chaff. Now, slowly over time, once these great artists that we all know by name, once they've identified their gift, they moved their abilities forward to the next and ultimate level of mastery through the time-honored tradition of apprenticeship and applying the principle of consistency and continuous practice. But they always knew why, and so must we. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's another original quote from, you guessed it, yours truly. Supplements are to the diet what carbon is to steel. Steel is stronger, more flexible, and more resistant to rust than iron alone.